This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The House Intelligence Committee wants to investigate Boxtop. That's the reported code name for a CIA program to send squads to kill or capture top terrorist targets like Osama bin Laden. Much of the argument between Congress and the CIA is about who should have told who, what, and when. But that overlooks the main point. Should we be surprised that the CIA planned to kill bin Laden and his lieutenants wherever they might be? 4 years ago, NPR's Mary Louise Kelly spoke with Gary Schroen, the former CIA station chief in both Afghanistan and Pakistan, who described being called into the office of Kofor Black, the chief of the CIA's counterterrorism office, a week after 9/11.
Kofor said, "Gentlemen, your basic marching orders are to link up with the Northern Alliance, get their cooperation militarily, and they will take on the Taliban. And when we break the Taliban, your job is to capture bin Laden, kill him, and bring his head back in a box on dry ice."
After hearing that interview, Ted Koppel interviewed Kofor Black for the Discovery Channel. He'd since left the CIA.
"It's a great story. I don't want to hear it wasn't true."
I would say that there is an element of truth to it. You have to understand the situation in which we found ourselves. You have basically a civilian intelligence service that's used to conducting clandestine espionage-type operations, going from that essentially to an OSS force. The instructions that we received from our superiors were very clear and specific. We were to conduct clandestine assault into Afghanistan, position ourselves, make contact with the locals, facilitate the entrance of the U.S. military, the warfighters, so that they could guide the ordnance onto the enemy. It was a sophisticated plan, the object of which was killing the enemy. And this country had been victimized and abused by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. This is a war-fighting situation. Some people get a little concerned about, of course we accept the surrender of the enemy, but in a war-fighting situation, it's kill or be killed. And that was the environment in which I was putting my friends and colleagues into, so I stand by that statement.
Elaborate, if you would, just a little bit on it. So what were the instructions that you gave them with regard to bin Laden and the other al-Qaeda leaders?
My focus at the time was not specifically, a lot of people make believe that it was all about only Osama bin Laden. That's not true. And it was not only about the leadership of al-Qaeda. It was to project power into Afghanistan, which is really a dicey place to be. It had broken the Soviet army. It had broken the British Empire. And so it requires nuance and force. The objective was to facilitate the United States military in its defeat of al-Qaeda and destruction of al-Qaeda, those forces that were deployed in Afghanistan. To do that, we also had to engage and target the Taliban. They were indistinguishable. In that process, we certainly were after high-value targets, Osama bin Laden and the rest of them. And I think that we were quite successful. If you look at the target set that we started with, unfortunately, Osama bin Laden and some of the senior people escaped, but I think we did, under the circumstances, with the forces we had, a pretty good job.
It will still surprise some people to learn that a U.S. agency set out to assassinate the leader of even an organization like al-Qaeda. Were those the instructions?
No, I think you have. I think you've completely mischaracterized it. In fact, it's inaccurate, and let me help correct you on this.
Please. Okay?
We're not in the assassination business. This is the warfighting business. And when you fight wars, being the forward edge for your military, one of the most important tactics is to degrade the command control, the leadership's ability to control their forces. So for us, primarily, and the first phase was to cut off al-Qaeda elements from its leadership, which would involve targeting their leadership as a military-type target. It's not, you know, first of all, American intelligence does not conduct assassinations. This was a part of warfighting activity in Afghanistan.
We're quibbling a little about words. Mm. I understand words are important.
Right.
You say American intelligence agencies aren't in the business of assassinating. Mm-hmm. But in this particular context, they were in the business of trying to degrade the enemy leadership, as you put it.
Correct.
If you can degrade it by killing the leaders, that's all right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But let's make a contrast. Let me just contrast that to before 9/11. Before 9/11, which has come out in the hearings, the objective was to capture bin Laden and his lieutenants. So you've gone from an objective of capture exclusively before 9/11 to afterwards, in a warfighting sense, degrading command control and going for these guys. In my vocabulary, in my experience, it's not quibbling at all.
It's a distinction with a difference.
Yes, it is.
A distinction that could also be described as an evasion of the law that bars assassination, which was passed after revelations about CIA attempts to kill, among others, Fidel Castro. The invasion of Iraq started with a bomb dropped on a bunker where Saddam Hussein was thought to be. Any number of terror suspects have been killed by missiles fired by unmanned aircraft. When is it okay for the U.S. government to target individuals? Does that include government officials? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. NPR News analyst Ted Koppel joins us now from his home in Maryland, and we thank Discovery for the use of that tape. And, Ted, it's always good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Neil.
And I include government officials. Mullah Omar, the head of the Taliban, was among those targeted right after 9/11. And, of course, in that time, he was the head of the government of Afghanistan.
Well, I must say, every time I listened to that segment of the interview, and the interview actually went on a great deal longer than that, I am coming more and more to the conclusion that I think Mr. Black, Ambassador Black, was trying to make the point that if a targeted killing takes place in other than a some guy standing in front of you with a gun and shooting you through the forehead, mm-hmm. if, in other words, it's done from 5,000 feet by a predator which is launching hellfire missiles at a particular target with the expectation and the knowledge that certain people are going to be inside that target and therefore will be killed, that somehow is different. That's not an assassination. I must say, I think he's quibbling.
I should point out also that during the Clinton administration, when he said the effort was only to capture Osama bin Laden, the U.S. did fire cruise missiles at a training camp where, again, he was believed, I could go so far as to say, hoped to be there.
Yeah. And again, I'll be interested to hear what Mr. Kerr has to say later on. I'm not sure that I see much of a legal or moral distinction. And let me hasten to add that at the time, we're talking here about orders that were given in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. I think if this conversation had taken place at that time, there would have been very, very few people in the United States who would have said anything other than, you're going out to assassinate Osama bin Laden? Go to it.
And I think
all the best of good luck to you.
And I think just last week, Pat Roberts, the longtime Republican senator from Kansas and a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said Americans would be astonished if the CIA was not trying to kill Osama bin Laden.
I think that's exactly right. But I guess what's a little bit troublesome is we're trying to have it both ways. If indeed the U.S. Congress, together with the executive branch, decide that is to be American policy in the event of what was still, after all, an undeclared war, even though quite clearly an act of war had been launched against the United States, if we consider ourselves to be at war with al-Qaeda and with the Taliban, is that or is that not acceptable? My problem is that we're unwilling to have those conversations in public.
And partly the reason, that law was passed in the aftermath of the Church hearings all those years ago, was that if it's okay for the United States to try to assassinate foreign leaders, then presumably it's okay for foreign leaders to try to assassinate U.S. officials, too.
Precisely. And as you may recall, one of the reasons that George W. Bush was said to be so adamant about going after Saddam Hussein is because Saddam Hussein did precisely that, apparently launched an assassination team that was supposed to kill the first President Bush.
After he'd left office.
After he'd left office, that's right.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. 800-989-8255, email talk at npr.org. Karen's on the line from Cincinnati.
I think it's a great program that you have, and, you know, I think it's important that as Americans we discuss this because we can't sit idly by and let tyrants make acts of war against the United States. And it's absolutely justifiable that we would go after Osama bin Laden, who's financing and orchestrating these horrible attacks on our innocent civilians. So, you know, I think it's important that we discuss it because it's absolutely, we were absolutely justifiable in going after him, whether covertly or overtly.
And then on the assumption that they are trying every day as much as they can to kill American officials anyway.
Right. So I'll take my comment off the air. Sorry, I have a newborn screaming in the background.
You've got your priorities straight, Karen. Go take care of the baby. Thanks very much for the call. Bye-bye. Ted?
Yeah, I think, of course, the problem is that as things are currently constituted, it is against U.S. law to do that. But I think Karen is exactly right. It's the kind of thing we ought to discuss, and that's precisely my point. I think it should be debated on the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate, and if indeed we believe it to be in America's best national interest that we engage in or permit our intelligence agencies or elements of the U.S. military to engage in targeted assassinations, then let's change the law. But let's, by all means, have the conversation and also examine the negative consequences of changing that law.
Former CIA Deputy Director Richard Kerr will join us when we come back in just a moment. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us talk at npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. One CIA officer reportedly described this agency's secret assassination program as little more than a PowerPoint presentation. It was canceled last month, we're told, before it got off the ground. But as mentioned, the U.S. has targeted any number of individual terrorists in the years after 9/11, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and elsewhere. When is it okay for the U.S. government to target individuals? Does that include government officials? 800-989-8255, email talk at npr.org. NPR News analyst Ted Koppel is with us. And let's turn now to former CIA Deputy Director Richard Kerr, who served 32 years at the agency. He joins us today from the studios of member station WQCS in Fort Pierce, Florida. And it's very good of you to be with us today. Nice to have you back.
It's my pleasure.
And is this distinction important, the difference between assassination and targeted killing?
Oh, I think it is. And part of the problem, I think, is the very word assassination. If you look in the dictionary, I think it's fairly clear what it means. It's political, ideological attempts to kill someone or a killing. I think what we're talking about in Afghanistan is in a combat situation where, whether you want to describe it as a formal war or not, we have over 100,000 troops there. And that's quite a different situation when you're trying to essentially go after the leadership and the person who is conducting that war. I would raise the question of, would it have been proper to go after Hitler during World War II? Would that be called assassination, cutting off the head of the Nazi regime? I wouldn't consider it that. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer, and I know there. I agree with Ted, actually, that there should be a discussion of that. I think the word itself is the wrong choice of words, and the description surrounding the law and the executive order probably needs to be adjusted.
The executive order, clarify that if you would.
Well, an order issued by, I think, both President Ford and I know President Reagan issued an order about assassination, that it was not legal. It was not to be done by the U.S. So it was very clear.
Although, as I'm sure you recall, Mr. Kerr, under President Reagan, there was a bombing attack launched in Libya with the stated goal, I think, at the time you quibble with the use of the word assassination, so I'll just say with the intent of targeting and killing Muammar Gaddafi.
I think it's questionable. I don't think it was the stated goal. You may be correct. It seemed to me that the goal was retaliation for the bombing of the bistro in Germany, and it was a retaliation attack against the Libyan leadership and against that regime. But I'm not so sure, and I know some of his family actually were killed in the attack on Tripoli. But I don't, you know, I would say I think you could debate that. The point that you've made, and whether that was legal, it seems to me that was a retaliation using military force against a regime, not against the individual.
Yeah, but when you make the point as you did a moment ago that we now have U.S. and NATO forces over 100,000 troops, the time period that we're talking about in Afghanistan was immediately after 9/11, when in point of fact there were almost no U.S. troops there. Some of your former agency colleagues were the first people on the ground with some special ops troops.
But they were pathfinders in a war against terrorism. I mean, I don't think there was any question about that.
I'm not debating the ethics with you. I mean, uh-huh. I'm more or less in agreement. I think assassinating Hitler would have been a wonderful idea, and I don't think anyone would have complained about the use of the term assassination either.
One of the things I think that you can draw a distinction. You know, you look at a leader, just pick a country or pick a person that an evil leader of a country that's destroying a country and a regime and a people. I mean,
Kim Jong Il
or Mugabe in Zimbabwe.
Or Mugabe. Yeah.
I think an attempt to kill him for those reasons would clearly fall into the category of being illegal and something that we should not do. And I agree with you. The implications of actions against leadership, the long-term implications of it, the unintended consequences are something that you do have to examine very carefully. I think it is an ethical issue as well. So it's not an easy subject to kind of come to a neat conclusion.
You're obviously not a lawyer, as you said, but was there ever some time in your experience, and I'm not asking you to spill secrets that you can't spill, but unless you really like to, did this come up in conversation? Did you say we have to go to superiors about this? Do we have to discuss this with the lawyers?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I think people do not fully understand is the way covert action and way operations are actually set in motion. You know, in my experience, which came primarily in the first Bush administration and in administrations before that, they usually come out of a subgroup of the NSC in a difficult political situation or military situation where the policymakers are looking for options to deal with difficult solutions. And usually what you've done is gone through, do you have political solutions? Do you have economic solutions? Do you have diplomatic solutions? And quite often you end up at a point where none of those are effective. And so quite often the leadership of the country turns to the CIA and says, all right, what kind of covert action can you conduct that might change the situation? Sometimes that is a very undesirable place for CIA to be because it's a last resort. And if you're doing it as a last resort, the chances of it being successful are pretty slim in my view. But other times, it's one of those options. It's one of the arrows in the quiver of the president that he can look at and say, what options do I have to affect policy somehow? And in those, looking at those options, one of the questions that sometimes comes up is, what action can be taken against the leadership itself? Could you have a coup? Do we have a group that could support a coup? Do we have an insurgency that can overthrow a government? And I've been in situations where we have been approached by people who said, we can solve your problem by killing them. And we have turned that particular, at least in my experiences, we have turned those down and said, that is unacceptable. Hmm. We cannot go at a solution where the objective is the killing of a leader of a country.
Although quite clearly, if you go back to 1963, when the then president of South Vietnam, Ngo Dinh Diem, was killed, and he was killed by South Vietnamese forces, but the belief has always been that it was done with the knowledge and perhaps even at the instigation of the U.S. government.
No, that's true. And you could go back to Castro as well.
And Lumumba and others, yes.
And find instances. It's a very difficult line when you're supporting groups that are trying to overthrow a government. But I think the point I would make is that in the one specific example that I can think of where it was very clear that their objective was killing the president, that was going to cause the coup to happen, not the other way around. He might die during a coup. But, you know, that's a pretty shady area to be in. There's
very
no
gray
question.
Area there, yeah.
Yeah, very gray.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation, and we'll start with Keith in Oklahoma City.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, my opinion might be biased because I come from the last 6 years of my life. I've been in a warfighter state of mind. However, I do personally feel whether what's in the past is right or wrong, that when we're actively pursuing a certain group of people, whether it be the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, or any other group that is on our list, targeting the leadership of that will not qualify under definition of assassination. It's a wartime effort to disrupt the communication and the leadership of the enemy, and I think it's kind of an insult to refer to it as an assassination.
Keith, let me ask you then, in that context, Mullah Omar was the head of the Taliban. Is it now okay for him to target the President of the United States?
I think that's something that they have tried to do in the past, but it's out of their realm.
It's not whether they're capable of not, but it would not be an act of terrorism in your terminology, but part of the war that they're conducting.
Well, that's why I personally feel that the individuals we are fighting right now are military combatants. Whether they choose to present themselves as military combatants wearing uniforms, as we do here in this country and most of the civilized world does, that doesn't make them exempt from the fact that they are waging a war against another country.
Keith, thanks very much for the call. Thank you, though. Bye. Here's an email from Jenny. I think you're using the wrong terminology. Assassination of heads of state are illegal under our laws. Since the terrorists are not heads of state, this would be murder and not assassination. I think murders are against the law in most contexts, not the same situation as a state of war. This from Eric in California. In the course of conventional war, is it okay to target a general? I think most would say yes and not call it assassination. So maybe the issue is whether we are at war or not. If not at war, we cannot be attempting to kill leaders. Once we are at war, all bets are off. It's okay to drop a bomb on the bunker of the war leaders. Maybe the gray area is whether we're at war or not and who is encompassed by that war. And I guess, Dick Kerr, that's the area we're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, whether the current administration calls this a war against terrorism or not, I think of it as a war. I think of it as over, you know, think of the number of troops we have. It is a war against a clear enemy whose aims are at our destruction. And if that isn't a war, I don't know what is a war.
Let's get
May I just jump in for a second?
Go ahead, please.
I think the terminology is less important than the intent. And if the intent here is a targeted as distinguished from a random killing, in other words, if B-52s are flying overhead and they carpet bomb an area and end up killing some enemy leader almost by accident in the course of killing a whole number of other people, that's a random killing. But if the particular intent of sending a predator with a Hellfire missile targeted at a particular house because agents on the ground have passed the word, passed the intelligence, that a particular leader is going to be in that house at that hour, if you don't want to call it assassination, call it targeted killing. But it's different than just bombing.
No, I agree with you, although you would be very unhappy if we did indiscriminate bombing against a target as opposed to what we are doing, which is very carefully calculated targeting of leadership. And we are avoiding, for instance, casualties to a degree which is just beyond belief, actually, the degree to which we're doing that.
No, I'm totally with you, and please don't misunderstand. It's not
I understand your point, though.
It's not a question of whether I'm happy with it or unhappy with it. The only thing that makes me unhappy is when there are sort of these blanket denials that something is being done, or when instead of using one term, we seek to use some sort of a euphemism that makes it sound less targeted.
Yeah, I don't disagree with your point.
With us are Ted Koppel, NPR news analyst, and Dick Kerr, former deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Farrell on the line. Farrell calling from Sacramento.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would say that this particular program should be removed from any possibility of use by the CIA, and here's why. Unfortunately, based on the messages that we received from the previous administration, they left it to their discretion to decide who was and was not a terrorist. And unfortunately, they made some very erroneous linkages, which essentially, ultimately, I believe, resulted in the beginning of the Iraq War. As a result, because they made the decision as to who was and was not a terrorist, and they claimed that Saddam Hussein was backing terrorists that attacked us.
Incorrectly, no question about that. There's another point to that. Who gets to decide? That must be something that is clearly up for discussion.
Well, it is. First of all, when CIA, there's a very careful process for covert action, which would include any such action against an individual, and that involves first of all a review within CIA itself, among the various primary people involved, obviously the director, deputy directors, but also the people who conduct the operations, but the Directorate of Intelligence as well, the analytic side. That goes to an actual group that looks at each and every proposal. It's a group that was, I don't know when it was first set up, but Bob Gates and Bill Webster created it again. I know after Bill Casey or Bill Webster took over as the director of Central Intelligence. That was a very careful review inside CIA before anything went down to the NSC. It then goes through the deputies committee there, which are the principal deputies of state, defense, CIA. And then only then does it go to the National Security Advisor, then takes that kind of recommendation usually to the president, to another group with the Secretary of Defense, perhaps, and the Secretary of State. It's not always the same process, but it goes through a rather complicated and long process before it's approved. And then the president issues a finding, and then the briefings of Congress are done. Only at that point. And that's long after the beginning of that process.
This email from Christine in Volcano, California. I remember the first time I heard President Bush say on TV, "We're going to hunt bin Laden down and kill him." I was so shocked that this was my America. I felt sullied by the whole idea of it and still do. I think it's a sign of weakness that we can't capture and prosecute him, so we'll just take the easy way out, or so we thought, and kill him along with anybody who's within 100 feet of him at the time. So many horrible things were done in our name. Now we all have to live with the long-term effects. She writes, remember this during the next big bombing on American soil. And I guess those are part of the long-term consequences that are part of these calculations, Dick Kerr.
Certainly they are. And the unintended consequences, things that you have to look out into the future and say, are we doing the right? But I go back to something Ted said earlier on. You have to put this in the context of 9/11, mm-hmm. and that situation, a dramatic situation where the country was under attack, and it was very uncertain what we were going to do, how we were going to react. So, you know, this is not a neat, easy process, and I think people have to be very careful about putting it in the right historical context, as well as discussing the various kind of philosophical arguments.
Dick Kerr, thank you so much for being with us and being willing to talk about this important subject and euphemism. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Dick Kerr, former deputy director for the Central Intelligence Agency, where he served for more than 30 years. He joined us today from the studios of member station WQCS in Fort Pierce, Florida. We're going to ask Ted Koppel to stay with us for the next segment of the program. Up next, it wasn't news until Walter Cronkite said it was. Ted Koppel will be here as we remember the most trusted man in America and his famous narrative of man's first steps on the moon. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.